Sister Lynette, for your amazing voice as you lead us in song on this wonderful day. It's now another opportunity to, as the song says, walk closer with thee, just a closer walk with thee. And the service is moving along very quickly, as it normally would on these Memorial Days. And, you know, it's our custom as West Indians on Memorial Weekend to go out to the parks and have fun and to meet and to greet and enjoy good barbecue and music with our friends and family. But life has slowed down. Life has certainly slowed down. And I was having a conversation with one of my children during the week. And when life slows down, we tend to see things differently. We tend to notice a movement God might be moving in our lives in a different way that we would not have noticed when we were just getting up and smelling the coffee and enjoying the toast and enjoying the toast and eggs. But now we tend to savor those moments. We tend to actually enjoy those moments a little bit more. You know, when you go to the hardware store these days, the longest lines are in the area where there is where they're selling garden work, things for gardening outdoors, because there's a lot of families that are coming together to do projects that have been left undone. Because now that life has slowed down, you tend to notice that you have time to do things together as a family, and you're able to complete some unfinished projects. And it brings me to remember to mind Moses, as Moses was, as the Bible described, he was on the backside of the mountain and serving his father-in-law Jethro by tending to his sheep. And in doing so, Moses probably had a busy life working with those sheep. But God caused Moses to slow down just a bit by putting a burning bush in his pathway, a bush that was burning but wasn't burned up, and which caused Moses to change his course and take a second look at that bush. And in doing so, he slowed down just enough for God to speak to him to change the course, not just of Moses' life, because Moses at that time was 80 years. And God given him an assignment, and that assignment lasted for another 40 years. So it's never too late, and you're never too old for God to slow you down and to shift gears for you so that you can fulfill his purpose. So here it is today. I want to talk to you a little bit about pleasing God. And what I did, I lift a scripture out of the middle of a passage. I lift a scripture out of the middle of a passage, and it's from Ephesians, and you heard that we are going through Ephesians, and it's out of Ephesians chapter 5. I lift a scripture, which is not a good thing to do, but I'm going to try to, with the Lord's help, to work through this. And the scripture is coming from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, and that is where I got my topic about pleasing God with the help of my wife. But I would read to you from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. But my main, the scripture is based around Ephesians chapter 5, 10. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians at this time, as Brother Talbot would count you down from 1 through 5. So here we are.
One,
in Ephesians.
Two, three. Four, five.
There we go. So here we are in Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering.
Hello,
and
hey.
A sacrifice.
What chapter did you say again?
Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5.
Ephesians chapter 5, 1 verse.
Through 10.
Let's go to the top.
1 through 10?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornicators and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as it is fitting for saints. I want to pause there for just a moment because I may not get the opportunity to remind you that you don't wait until you die to become a saint. The Bible already telling you that you're a saint once you're in Christ Jesus. You don't wait until someone decided that they need to add up all the things that you have done, and then it will be accounted to you as whether you're a saint or not. Amen.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Verse 4 reads, it says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicators, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord.
Amen.
Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Or some of your renditions may say, finding out what pleases the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray, brothers and sisters. Father, we thank you for another day, another opportunity here in the land of the living God, where we experience your goodness and your mercies. Father, we thank you for watching over us, God, even as we lie down last night and our rising up this morning. And as Father, as we have taken this opportunity to come and to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in a different way over the telephone, God, we ask you to be with us during this hour. And Father, as for me, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Help me, God, to decrease as you increase in me so that I can be used for your glory. Because, God, you know that I am weak, but you are strong. Help me, Jesus, to make it through this time. In your Son Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, one of the things that happened in our lives, in our youthful days, most of us exercise in some form of athletic performance. We do
Amen.
Some kind of exercise. And some do it a little bit more than others. And as we try out for various sports, as we try out for various games, I noticed when I came to America that the North mostly played lawn tennis, but the South played six-pole rounders. The North played baseball and softball, but the South played cricket, oh, lovely cricket. The North played football, which is debatable because they usually played with their hands, and the South also played football, which is now mostly called soccer, and which I want to just elaborate a little bit on. You see, what had happened was, in our youthful days, in our youth soccer team, was a classmate by the name of Johnny. Johnny is not his real name, But I just don't want to unmask Johnny for the world to see or the world to know. Johnny was also a member of our soccer team. And in our idle time on the soccer field, we would all gather together and be in conversation. However, when the coach shows up in the group of the young men, Johnny would instantly change in the way he spoke. It is like Johnny left Guyana and was transported to London, England. And I'll tell you what, Johnny's way of switch speaking worked. When Johnny spoke, he got the attention of the coach. He got the attention of the teachers. Whenever Johnny spoke, he got the attention even of the young ladies. Which brings me to think about a story about an offering in Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, two young men brought an offering to God. And we're going to pick it up from Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 and 5. That reads, "In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord." Verse 4 reads, "Abel also brought of the fruit of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering." Verse 5 reads, "But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." You see, there are times when we read the scripture and we notice that God does not always give us the details. As Sister Michelle was speaking earlier, she says she talks about the pandemic, and she knows that God is aware of the pandemic, because God knows all things. But God is not giving us the details of what is happening. And here in this scripture, God did the same thing. And we oftentimes come upon scriptures that cause us to ask the question, why weren't the details available to us? So we sometimes, as we look through the scriptures, we may come to a conclusion, a reasonable conclusion. But even though this is one of the scriptures that bothers me, you know that this scripture is constantly giving me that why question. Why did God not accept Cain's offering? And he accepted Abel's offering. But I want to tell you, in this scenario, God left the details out. And he did not say why he respected one offering and why he did not respect the other offering. The Bible did not say why he looked with favor on one offering and he did not look with favor on the other offering. But let me just back up a little bit and bring you back to Johnny, my classmate situation. Let me bring him back in the picture. You see, with Johnny, all of Johnny's friends knew that Johnny was faking his posture. He acted a certain way with his friends and another way with those he wanted to impress. And guess what? Those people accepted and respected Johnny's outlook. But in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 to 5, God did not give us a motive for his action, neither does God have to. However, as believers, when we continue to look through the scriptures, we're going to find the ways in which God would act, the ways in which God would do certain things. And Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 17, I found a scripture that would give me an idea as to why God did what he did at that particular time. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 9. It reads from verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" And verse 10, "Give me a better of understanding." And it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve." Somehow, when we look at scripture and we don't get a full understanding, God have a way of showing us if we continue to study his word. And I believe that God saw the conduct of Cain. You see, and when God saw Cain's conduct, the Bible says he did not respect Cain's offering. But I can hear some of you as you in your thought process, as you're thinking about Johnny, and you're saying that all of us from some time or another behave like little Johnny. We have this fake smile. We have this fake words that we use. We have this fake attitude that we have before people. We have this fake posture. And I will not dispute your thoughts and what you're thinking. But however, my friend, God was trying with this young man, Cain, as he is trying with all of us. He's given us opportunities to do right. God told Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. If we can go back to Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, the scripture reads, "So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." You see, God saw through Cain's attitude. He saw through his mind. He saw in his heart, and he knew exactly what was in Cain. And I am reminded that Jesus, when Jesus was doing his miracles, the people wanted to make him king. But the Bible says that Jesus did not give himself over to man because he knew what is in man. And when we read Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond pure, and who can understand it?" So here God was giving Cain that opportunity to do right, because he gave him a warning. He told him, "You should rule over sin." And God always gives us a warning, because you and I have that opportunity to rule over our temptation. Sin knocks differently at our doors. It don't knock on my door the same way it may knock on your door, but I guarantee you that sin does knock on my door. And there are times when I do fall. There are times when I do stumble, but I need to rise up and ask God for forgiveness for my sin when I do stumble or fall. So, because the Bible, it reminds us that even when sin knocks on our door, God always makes a way of escape. Amen? He makes a way of escape for all of us. So he was giving Cain this opportunity to rule over that which was crouching at his door. You see, my friends, you know, there's a saying that you cannot walk and chew gum at the same time. And Cain did not want to walk in the way of the Lord, yet his desire was for God to accept his offering. In other words, like many people, Cain still wants the Lord's blessing, even though He wanted to walk in his own way. And people, I believe God is always looking beyond the offering. God is always looking beyond that which we are bringing to him. He is more about our attitude. He is more about our posture. God is looking more at our demeanor. According to Jeremiah 17, verse 10, God is still searching. God is still examining our hearts and our mind so that God can reward us. So when we jump back over to Ephesians, and I choose to just plug that scripture out of the middle of the passage, that scripture that reads that we need to be finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. We need to try our best to see what pleases the Lord. As we look at that scripture, it is up to us to move in a direction that will be able to please God. The question is, do I really want to please God? And I want to remind you of a beautiful proverb in chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 7, there's a beautiful proverb that says, when a man ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. When a man ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies ways please him. As you remember, Brother Talbot did the exhortation in the beginning, and in verse 5 of Psalm, of the 23rd Psalm, it says, God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So God can prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies if your ways please him. Amen? So I just want you to keep your fingers right there on Ephesians as I travel elsewhere in the Bible. I want to go just a little bit to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Because it's all about faith in God. Amen? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Keep your finger on Ephesians chapter 5. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 reads, but without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. It's up to us to seek God, and when we seek God, the Bible says he will reward us. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. But you need to come before God with faith, believing that God is who he is. When Jesus was disputing with those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, and they asked him, basically, who do we think he is? He said, I am that I am. He is the all-encompassing person that you need to look towards. He is God, and he's God all by himself. He don't need to answer to us. We answer to him. He don't need to seek us, even though he seeks us, because he's always looking for those who will serve him, who will please him. But it is up to us to choose that, to make that decision to follow him, to walk with him. And so we understand that in that very chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, there are some names that we will say that there are some great names that are in there. People like Abraham, Sarah, Noah, Moses, Joseph, David. You know, these are some mighty men and women of God. And they operated in faith. And it's because of their faith that it was deemed to them as being righteous because to God. But these two men, they have two men who a whole lot wasn't written about in the scriptures. And these two men can be found even before the Bible mentioned these great names. And if you back up just a little bit to verses 4 of Hebrews, it says, by faith, here we are talking about Abel again, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice that than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gift. Who testified of Cain, of Abel's gift? God testified of his gift. And through it, he being dead, still speak. Cain has been dead for thousands of years, and his name is still being called as being righteous because of the offering in which he presented to God. May God look on our offering in a favorable way, and so that our name will be mentioned years later. Will God look upon us as righteous so that he can testify of us? The next one, the next person God spoke about, it says, by faith, Enosh was taken away so that he did not see death. I know most of us would like to go to heaven, but I know that, but most of you know, or all of you should know that by now you're going to die. Amen?
Amen, amen. Yes,
so this is by faith, Enosh was taken away that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Amen.
You see, there are a lot of things that can be said about us, but if it is said that we please God, we're in good company. Amen? So now let us make our way back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let us make our way back to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to pick up from the beginning where Paul, the apostle, is writing these words. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God as dear children. You know, the idea of being an imitator, the child may have the imitation plastic carpenter tool or carpentry tool. He may have a saw, he may have a hammer that is made of plastic, but he thinks he's actually doing the real work as he watched his father do his carpentry work. But that same child, as he grows up, if he continues to work alongside his father, he is the same child who will have a man-sized rake working along his father in the yard as they rake the leaves. You see, it is that daughter, that mother and daughter relationship as they sit, as they're in the kitchen making something. They could be making cookies or they can be making cake, and the child cannot even reach the counter, so the child has to stand on a stool, and as she stands on a stool, she is making something with her little hand, and there's stuff everywhere, making a big old mess. But the parent, who is looking for the end of the matter and not the beginning, she is not concerned with the mess that is being made. She is concerned of the child that she is making into, what that child is going to become later. So she is allowing that child to imitate her, just as the father was allowing his son to imitate him while he was doing carpentry. And so it is with God's children. God's children need to imitate God. Amen? And the only way you can imitate God is to walk with God. Like Enosh, he walked with God in such a great way that God just said, you know what, you're the cream of the crop. Just come on home.
Uh-huh.
So we need to walk with God in that kind of a way. And when we walk with God in such a way, it would be pleasing to him. Let me get a sip of water.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So as we continue to walk with God, we will see God start opening up doors for us. We will see God start moving mountains for us. We will see God building bridges for us, so that we can meet people, new people, and we can see the food pantry expanding as God, as we imitate God with that, because we're loving on people the way God loves people. And that eludes, that brings me to the next verse. It says, walk in love as Christ has also loved us and giving himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 talks about us presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice before God, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. When you want to do something for yourself and you choose to go and do something for somebody else, when you want to stay home and watch the soap opera, but you choose to get up out to your nice warm bed and cool house and go on the road and serve people and try to hug people and try to do all of these great work for God's people, then when you take up your own time and go out and do work that you could have been somewhere else doing for yourself, you are walking and you are loving God's people and you're walking in God's love. Because, you know, Jesus said this about himself. He says, I only do what I see the Father doing in John chapter 5, verse 19. And sometimes we want to do what we want to do, but we need to do what we see the Father doing. And when we do what we see the Father doing, we're pleasing God. Amen? Because God created us, not for ourselves. He created us for his good pleasure.
Amen, amen. Amen.
For time's sake, we don't have time to go through what love is. But if in your own spare time, you can check out the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and it's a great list of what love is and what love is not in that chapter. And ironically, it's only 13 verses in that chapter. So you can spend a few moments reading that chapter late in the day so that you can walk with God. But the very last verse of that chapter, of the 1 Corinthians 13, the very last verse of that chapter reads, it says, and now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. The Christians must be loving people. They must be loving people and they must love people. Paul said there should be no fornication, there should be no uncleanness, there should be no covetousness, no filthiness, no foolish talking or such likes. When you continue to read on Ephesians chapter 5, there should be none of that named among you, as Paul is trying to guide the children of God away from the world in which they came from and guide them so that they can be pleasers of God instead of pleasers of themselves and men. Amen? Are you begging? Are you beginning to get the picture? People whose lifestyle are of such are only pleasing themselves. Yeah. People whose lifestyle are of the filthiness, are of the fornication, are of the covetousness. These people are only pleasing themselves, as it states there in verse 5. However, as we come to a close, because God has brought us out of darkness and into his marvelous light, as far as Peter chapter 2 verse 9 reads, it says, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special people. When the world called you special, you said, yes, I am special. I know this word special people in this time means something totally different than what it means. But God says that we are his special people. And it says that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We are God's people who once were, but we once walked in darkness, but now we are walking in God's marvelous light. We are going to walk as children of light. And in doing so, we will be doing what is pleasing to God, and God will be able to accept our offer. God bless you all.
Amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
Praise
God
the Lord.
Bless you too.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you.
Amen.